Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company on the show, but I think a well-known company to a lot of the resource investors out there. The company is Karora Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol KRR and on the OTCQX under the symbol KRRGF. We are chatting with the Executive Vice President of Corporate Development, Oliver Turner. Karora Resources really was created in the summer of 2020. It was rebranded out of RNC Minerals. The company is a producer, gold and nickel producer, currently producing at a scale of about 120,000 ounces of a year. But the real upside here, the growth potential of up to 200,000 ounces a year in just a couple years is on the table for the company. So Oliver, I want you to just provide a bit of an overview of the operations here. The company is running, in essence, kind of a hub and spoke production model using the Higginsville Gold Operations as the hub, being fed mostly by this Beta Hunt underground mine. But as the company progresses and ramps up production growth, you are planning on bringing in a few other deposits as well. So please, Oliver, start off by just providing us with a general overview of the production profile of the company, please.
Yeah, for sure, Corey. And thank you guys for having me on your podcast. Certainly excited to be here. So we are located in Western Australia, right in the Kalgoorlie camp, which is the most prolific camp, obviously, in Gold Belt in Australia, about 60 kilometers down the road from the Kalgoorlie Super Pit, which I'm sure a lot of your viewers will recognize and have heard of before, you know, 60 million ounce camp. We do own a very large land package covering the Kalgoorlie Belt in Western Australia. In fact, it is the second largest land package in the region, totaling 1,900 square kilometers, which obviously has tremendous exploration upside potential, which we can talk about a little bit later on, as well as, you know, the production potential and the production base that we currently have. So our centralized mill that is part of this hub and spoke model you referred to, it's called the Higginsville Mill. It's currently a 1.6 million ton per annum mill. We upgraded that earlier this year from 1.4 million tons per annum when we acquired it from Westgold in mid-2019, it was a 1.4 million ton per annum mill. So that's performing very well, and it's being fed by multiple sources. So the underground operation we have called Beta Hunt, which is about 80% of our feed going into that mill and will remain 80% of the feed moving forward through our growth plan over the next several years, is about 60 kilometers up the road. And that is a gold mine with some very interesting nickel byproduct potential as well. And that's kind of the backbone of the company. Rounding out the feed into our mill, we have several different deposits in an area we call Higginsville Central, which are immediately surrounding the mill. Those deposits are a range of open pits. We're also bringing on two new underground operations, and they're feeding into the mill currently. And then last, but certainly not least, we have the high-grade Spargos open pit, which we purchased last year, acquired last year, and is coming online now. We'll be feeding the mill in the late third and into the fourth quarter here. So it's several different operations feeding into that centralized mill with many more to come.
Exciting times for the company, Oliver. Nice to see Spargos coming online. But let's dive into the primary flagship asset for the company, which is Beta Hunt. You've got three main zones there, the A zone, the western flank. They're a little bit more established and have been feeding the mill for some time. But you're also bringing the Larkin zone in the near future into production. But you're right now updating the resource estimate with some of the drilling you've been doing. Just give us an overview of Beta Hunt, the production profile, the cost, and, you know, where you see the action.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Beta Hunt is the sort of pillar of the company. Before it was a gold operation, in fact, it was a nickel operation for the better part of 40 years. And why is that significant? It's very significant because we have a huge amount of existing underground development already in place. In fact, we have over 400 kilometers of development already in place, which we leverage both for mining and for exploration. So as you said, mining is currently focused on the A zone and western flanks, and that forms the basis, you know, and the majority, or if not all, of the million ounce resource that we have there currently in M&I, another 500,000 in inferred. So that's A zone and western flanks mining. We do expect to continue to expand those zones in our upcoming resource and reserve update, which will be out early next year for the 2021 update. So we'll continue to expand A-Zone and Western Flanks. And then, of course, the new entrant into that reserve and resource table is going to be Larkin. So Larkin was first discovered in September of 2020. And in just 1 year, we've actually drilled it off over a kilometer in strike length, 150 meters in vertical extent, and just with some phenomenal drilling. You know, the grades are looking very, very strong there, if not slightly higher than the existing resource base. So Larkin will come into that reserve and resource estimate in that early 2022 update, and we would expect to be having some mining activities occurring there next year as well, which we're certainly very excited about. Current production out of Beta Hunt is around about the 70 to 75,000 ounces a year mark. That will be more than doubling. It grow to about 160,000 ounces by 2024. So that is the backbone of this expansion plan. And, you know, we continue to work on costs there. We've done a fantastic job since acquiring the assets of bringing down the cost structure. You know, our mining costs there now are around 55 dollars a ton, which is just phenomenal for a long hole stoping operation. So continue to perform well there, and that's going to form the backbone of the expansion to come.
Now let's talk big picture about that expansion, especially at Beta Hunt, because Beta Hunt is the main production source right now, or at least feed source. But as I mentioned, 120,000 ounces currently, up to 200,000 ounces by 2024. What does that look like? Where does that growth come from in Beta Hunt?
Yep, absolutely. So the majority is from Beta Hunt. And what we are doing there is very simple. We're replicating the success of what we've already done in the past. So currently we have one decline mine access going into that deposit, mining the A zone and Western Flanks. We're doing about 1 million tons per annum out of that first decline. What we're going to be adding at Beta Hunt is a second decline. So a second 1 million ton per annum decline will go on the other side of the ore body, and that'll bring that production rate up to 2 million tons per annum by 2024. So the mill expansion that we're undergoing is going to bring the mill up to 2.5 million tons per annum. 2 million tons per annum of that will come from Beta Hunt. And as I mentioned previously, that'll lift the gold production at Beta Hunt up to about 150 to 160,000 ounces per year.
Well, Oliver, another thing that I think is interesting is the nickel component. You don't see many deposits that have both gold and nickel in them. It's kind of unique in the marketplace, but you've got a pretty established zone, the 30C nickel zone, where you found some pretty high grades there. And you've now made a new discovery called the 50C area. So just walk us through how the nickel component plays into that as a co-credit with the gold.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've got some tremendous nickel opportunities here at Beta Hunt, and we have been mining some of the remnant nickel already from the past historical operations around A-Zone and Western Flanks before. Last year, we did about $30 an ounce in byproduct credits from nickel there. Now, just one important thing for your listeners to know is that we have BHP next door who buys the nickel tons right off of the surface of us. We do not have nickel processing facilities, and we don't need them because we have that great contract with them, which is fantastic. So with respect to the 30C and the 50C, the 30C was discovered right above that Larkin zone I referred to earlier. You're right, we hit some excellent grades there, you know, trending between about 3 to 7% nickel. And then just several months ago, we announced the discovery of 50C, which sits next to the old Beta deposit, which is the Beta from the word Beta, for the name Beta Hunt. And that area, the 50C, is very high grade and very wide. We've hit some intercepts that, you know, 11 to 18% nickel. We announced a few last week that were 4 to 5% nickel. And we've drilled it off over an area that's 150 meter in strike extent and 80 meter width. Now, we're going to be continuing to drill that moving forward. We have lots of drills that are pending assays in the labs right now, but it is open along a 2.6 kilometer potential strike length. So stay tuned on that. Obviously, higher grade and more significant nickel tons coming in the future that will have a material effect on those byproduct credits and certainly be larger than the $30 an ounce that we have today.
So then, Oliver, when we're looking at the growth here, especially coming out of Beta Hunt, what are the costs associated with this ramp up of production?
Yeah. So from the capital perspective, that second ramp is going to cost somewhere in the order of $40 to $45 million Australian. Now, obviously, we've seen somewhat of an inflationary environment in the world, obviously, and definitely in Western Australia over the last year. So we've tried to bake in a concrete and a good buffer in that capital estimate. But $40 to $45 million is going to come from Beta Hunt. The remainder of the capital is going to be about $50 million that's going to be at the mill expansion, and then about $10 to $15 million in equipment that we'll need to add in order to meet that higher production rate.
Okay. Well, it sounds like things are humming along at Beta Hunt. A lot of growth on tap in the future and bringing down the cost, expanding production. So it's an interesting story to follow. Let's move over to your Higginsville Gold Operations, HGO for short there. And it's producing about 20% of the annual company feed right now, in the range of 6,000 ounces per quarter, you know, could push up to 8,000 ounces per quarter. You've got a couple different areas that you're pulling ore from there too, and a couple new production targets like Aquarius and the Two Boys. Just walk us through the overall snapshot of Higginsville, where the ore is coming from and where the growth is coming from.
Yeah, for sure. So Higginsville is, as you said, is a series of deposits. In fact, when we purchased that asset from Westgold in mid-2019, we inherited 32 targets and deposits. So lots of action going on there. We have historically been mining the Baloo open pit. That is winding down now, and we've switched over to the Hidden Secret open pit. On average, these are 2 gram open pits, and that's head grade to the mill. So excellent source of feed and very profitable source of feed, even if they are smaller contributors to the overall production profile. And then, as you mentioned, we are bringing on 2 new underground operations. In fact, one of them is new and the second one is a restart. So the first new one is called Aquarius. We're driving the decline down to the top of that ore body right now. It's a narrow vein subvertical mine, underground mine there with some phenomenal grades. You see some of the drilling results that we put out recently have been over 600 grams per ton. So that'll start contributing to the production profile from Higginsville in the fourth quarter of this year. And then we're also restarting a past producing underground operation at Higginsville called Two Boys, which historically produced material around about the 4 gram mark. And we're restarting that, and that'll be contributing to the feed source in the coming year as well.
So Oliver, what does that look like in terms of just how much more production, how many more ounces will be produced from Higginsville generally compared to where you stand now?
Yeah, we'll be bringing Higginsville as a camp, you know, inclusive of Spargos, up to the 45 to 50,000 ounce a year range by the time we reach 2024.
All right, let's move on to some of the other projects, more or less, I guess, in this development or production pipeline. Again, building off of this hub and spoke model. What about the Spargos property?
Yeah, so Spargos is an asset that in a property and a mine and deposit that we purchased last year. We've now brought that all the way through to starting up production. It's a very high grade open pit project, a 3 gram open pit, about 150,000 ounces in there today. We do expect that, like with the other assets, to grow in our updated resource and reserve statement next year. But we're already into benching the top layer of the ore there and expect some of the higher grades to come in the fourth quarter and first quarter of next year. But that'll be a very high margin open pit, high grades, obviously, and a small footprint. So it should work quite well for us moving forward. There also is absolutely underground potential at Spargos. The resource that we updated the market with in late June is just an open pit resource. And we certainly have some very, very interesting high grade intercepts at depth. So that will transition eventually to an underground operation as well. We've also started to expand exploration in that region and have extended some of the strike length of mineralized areas to well over a kilometer. And just down the road, 15 kilometers down the road, is a very similar deposit that was the foundation of Remelius Resources called Wattle Dam. At Wattle Dam, they mined 250,000 ounces at 10 grams from an open pit. So certainly very interesting jurisdiction, and we're seeing the same signature and setting for Spargos. So we certainly expect it to expand well beyond its current state.
Oliver, it's nice to see yet another spoke coming into the fold there in production with Spargos coming online and ore passing through this quarter. Just one more project we'll touch on very briefly, and that's the Mount Henry target. This could be another prospective area, maybe a fourth spoke, so to speak, where you're currently doing a lot of drilling. It's earlier stage, but just mention and briefly, you know, that could be some growth down the road for the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Mount Henry was a past producing operation for Westgold. They were trucking ore from Mount Henry up to the Higginsville mill. Obviously, with the grade profiles that we have some of these other operations, you know, the 1.3 gram grade of Mount Henry right now doesn't make the cut in terms of displacing those tons. However, what we are focused on is continuing to drill that resource to try to define a higher grade core. The current reserve is around 600,000 ounces there at 1.3, 1.4 grams. And the majority of our Higginsville greater resource, you know, that million ounces at 1.3 grams is at Mount Henry. So it certainly has scale. It has potential. We have a lot of great metallurgical information from past mining. So we'll continue to advance that project. That is not currently included in our growth plan moving forward, but certainly something we'll evaluate in a couple of years.
Let's talk about the management team then real quick. Can you give us a bit of background on the CEO and chairman, as well as maybe a little background on yourself, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So Paul's been around in the mining industry for quite a long time. And, you know, the last company he was associated with was an excellent success. He took Klondex from a single asset producer in Nevada, tucked in a mill, similar to what we did with Higginsville, and several producing assets around it, and then sold the company to Hecla in 2018. So did very well there during a bear market cycle, and certainly had made, shareholders some good returns there as well. His background is in operations before that as well. So has an excellent handling of what's going on at the site level. Paired with him, I can't mention Paul without mentioning Graham. Graham Sloan is the managing director of the Australian operations. He was the man that built Fosterville, which obviously Kirkland Lake is operating very well right now, and has been a key driver in the operational turnaround success that we've had in Australia. So they manage Australia together. And then myself, Oliver Turner, head of corporate development here at Karora. My previous experience was, I worked at GMP Securities, which is a mining investment bank, for 7 years as a precious metals research analyst, to certainly understand the capital market side of the business. And prior to that, worked as a mining engineer in industry myself.
Well, Oliver, just remind everybody, as far as the financial side, what kind of cash in the bank does the company have? Any other access to funds? And just walk us through the financial picture.
Yeah, for sure. So we just announced our third quarter production, and we updated the market on the cash balance. So we exited the third quarter with $86.7 million in cash on the balance sheet. That is Canadian dollars. So that, certainly puts us in a very, very comfortable position with financing this growth plan that we just talked about today. Between our cash balance and, our operational cash flow, that growth plan is, for all intents and purposes, self-funded. We do have $30 million Canadian in debt on the balance sheet, which we're working through refinancing right now at a much better rate. As part of that refinancing, we maybe get a backup facility just in case gold prices roll over, back to their previous lows. We have no intention on drawing down on it, but it's always good to have that kind of standby facility just in case you may need it in the future. But financially, very, very robust and very sound.
Final quick comments here on the share structure: about 162 million shares fully diluted. That brings a market cap to about $640 million. That's Canadian. With this growth profile, it seems like a little bit of a low market cap, in all fairness, because the company is generating cash flow. You do have money in the bank and you do have these growth plans. Take us through some of the, key shareholders, some of the larger and well-known shareholders, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've definitely added to the institutional roster pretty handsomely over the course of the last year. We have Van Eck, obviously we're a core component of the GDXJ, but we also brought in Invesco, very, very large fund manager based in the US, RBC Global Asset Management, Stabilitas out of Germany. We've got several other large institutions who have been buying us as well, Manulife, Mackenzie, a long list of very well-established owners. And then of course, we also have Eric Sprott, who owns 9% of the company and has been adding to his share position over the course of the last year and a half as well. So strong shareholders there for sure. And to touch on your first point in terms of the market cap for a producer that's on its way to 200,000 ounces, you're absolutely right. And when you look at that 200,000 ounce year peer group, they're all trading well north of $1 billion. In fact, on average, they're around $1.2 to $1.3 billion. So there certainly is a great opportunity here for investors that want to get involved in a cash flowing story that is self-funded in probably the lowest jurisdiction or lowest risk jurisdiction to mine in the world.
All right, Oliver, appreciate this introduction. We'll bring you back on as we get some more news out on the market and as the company just continues to move forward with ramping up production, some of that exploration that's ongoing as well. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. Oliver, appreciate the update. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, guys.